if you want to really get down to it, it's a celebration of all things that we geek about. We are all geeks on this show about something. Sometimes we geek about the stupidest things for everybody else, but to us, it's something we just really passionate about. And every time we find something new to geek out about, every time there's something new in our realm of geekiness, we have to either have it, experience it, see it, watch it, own it, whatever it is. That is our ritual misery. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 116 for the Thursday, the 23rd of February, 2017. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek shit and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and Kent, man, I gotta ask.
Yeah.
We might actually have, if not by tone of inflection of voice, at least by substance communication, just the amount of communications, maybe the most self-deprecating guest we've ever had. This man, according to him, he has zero talents and zero reason to be here, which, in my opinion, gives him all the reason to be here, but we know him and love him as Movie League Mike. How you doing
tonight,
man?
What's going on, Mike? We are so happy to have you on the show. We've had a lot of communication over the last week or so, and I was looking so forward to this show, and here you are. We're finally here. What's going on, man?
Well, good evening, gentlemen. I'd like to first thank the computer glitch that scheduled me and and you guys being classy enough to follow through on it.
I've never been referred to as a computer glitch, but I'm down. I'll work it.
No, it's great to be here. Thanks a lot.
This is one of those times when we've had a lot of Chat Realm on here and a lot of Diamond Club, and I know that's like the Venn diagram is practically two circles encompassing each other, but there are certain people that we just don't know anything about. Like, we've never seen them on a show, or we've never really gotten to talk to them a whole lot in Chat Realm or otherwise, and you were one of those people, and I was like, why? Why is he not? Like, how do you have such a long history of working with Mr. Merritt, you know, the podfather of Ritual Misery? How do you have that and still I can't find a single episode of anything you've ever been on?
Yeah, it's tough to locate because it doesn't exist.
That's done. That's over. People are going to be able to find this and embarrass you for years now.
That's exactly what I was afraid of. No, but because I don't get into chat as often as I'd like to, because most of the time goes to the writing now, and I know if I get in there, that's all I'm going to be doing. So I kind of ration it, and most of the stuff based, you know, with my hours, it's all podcast version. I don't get to do a whole lot of the live stuff. I'd love to do more. There's so many geeky things I'd love to do more of.
I know.
Just need more time.
Absolutely. That's the thing that me and Amos always say too. That if we had just more time, we would be more involved in everything. But you do a lot in the Diamond Club community. You do the weekly tech views, which is actually the monthly tech views.
Now it's monthly. Yeah.
You do the Crumb Dumb, you're a published author, you've done so much in this community, and people probably feel like, at least to a certain extent, that they know you.
They hear the name once in a while. It's been, I've gotten a lot of really cool support for the stuff I've done. You know, I started out with the Crumb Dumb, and Brian and Justin were really, you know, great about, you know, their response to it, because nobody asked me to do it, you know. Throw something up in Reddit and just see what happens, you know. And the people, you know, for the movie draft, the fantasy movie draft, which I don't know. Do you guys play? Do you get into the movie draft?
We've never actually played. I don't know if Kent really even observes too much other than watching Night Attack each week and kind of keeping track of what's going on there and the episodes where they record, you know, the actual draft itself. The first time I was watching it was in 14, I was deployed and was watching the initial draft and kind of kept up with it, but I've never actually put my hat in there.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's kind of me as well. I've been kind of watching it from afar for a few years now. I've checked out the Crumb Dumb a little bit, checked on the standings, things like that, but I've never actually played. And I was talking to Amos just the other day that this is actually something we should probably try our hands at, because the Chat Realm League has a pretty big following and whatnot.
Right. Yeah. There's hundreds of people doing that, and it's nice because if you're not like a fantasy sports person, it's an easy way to get into it, because all you do is the initial, you pick your movies at the beginning and you're done. You don't have to do anything throughout the season. Yep. So you just sit back and either yourself
and for the record,
soar or implode.
For the record, fantasy sports is just Dungeons and Dragons for the jocks. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right, that's sure.
It's well known, right. But if you haven't heard that yet, that's exactly what it is. We've been doing it since 78, buddy. So.
Right. It's a lot. It's fun though. I enjoy, and I'm pretty much a numbers geek too, so that's fantasy sports, is numbers, and you just get buried in.
Yeah, well, and that's one thing about the Crumb Dumb is it takes the numbers and like uses them to skew a narrative that I've always found very entertaining, even if sometimes it's okay. So as with any creative writing, it gets a little long sometimes. And sometimes you're like, you get down to the last part of it and you're like, all right, that was good, but maybe it wasn't quite worth my time. And then you got your little footnotes down there. And sometimes the footnotes like just really stamp it for me. And I don't know why, but I'll read it and be like, that's cool. And then you get down to the very end of it and it's like, oh, wait, now I have to reread that whole section right there. And it's, I don't know. I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed it. And it's pretty awesome. And now, I mean, we're doing the same shit we did with Roberto. We're talking about all his shit before we talk about our shit.
Well, that's okay.
So, gentlemen, how has your week been?
Well, I checked out a really weird movie this week. Have you guys heard of or seen Swiss Army Man?
Heard of, yes, not seen. Is that Radcliffe, Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah, it's got Daniel Radcliffe. It's got, grown up Harry Potter in it as a dead guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing in particular about it, but I'll let you go ahead.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to say a whole lot about it. It's a super weird, weird movie. Like, it's kind of, I don't know, like falls in that art category, I guess. Because it's telling this narrative in a very non-traditional style. It's basically about a guy that's he's stranded on a desert island at the beginning, and he's trying to kill himself, but then he sees a body wash up on the beach, and it's Daniel Radcliffe, and he decides to not kill himself and go check out this dead guy, and they become best of friends throughout the next hour and a half.
Of course.
Oh, and okay,
I don't want to spoil it, because at the end the story becomes something different, and I don't want to ruin what that is. But if you can make it through this weird journey, I think it's got a good payoff and kind of like an aha moment at the very end.
What I heard was not. I'm sure this isn't a spoiler. I hope this isn't a spoiler, because if this is big, it's going to be a disappointment to people. But you've referred to it as an art film, and what I heard rhymed with art about Radcliffe's performance.
Yes, there are quite a few fart jokes. and the thing about it is, the main actor that I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I heard a story that he took this role based on a one-sentence pitch from the director that was something along the lines of the first fart in the movie will make you laugh, and the last fart in the movie will make you cry.
Oh, wow.
And the guy was like, okay, sign me up. I'm doing it.
That's acting.
Look, sometimes sometimes the 12-year-old you has to come out. All right.
No, it was actually pretty good though. I mean, like I said, it's non-traditional. It's kind of weird. But if you can handle that sort of thing. Yeah, check it out. It's actually pretty cool. It's on, is it on Netflix? It's either on Netflix or Amazon.
It's on one of the services, right? Mike, you had a staycation. What's going on with that?
Yeah, well, it's over now, but the end of last week, it was the end of that. It was good. Staying home a lot of times is sometimes the best vacation for us. But we got out, we left the house maybe twice. Once to go to the zoo nearby. We have a pretty nice zoo in Cleveland. And we picked like the better day of the week, like mid-40s. And it's nice. The animals are a little more active usually. But a Tuesday in February, the zoo isn't what you call crowded, which is nice. You get around wherever you want. You're not elbowing people away from the railings. But it also means they employ about six people. And they're all bored as hell. And you get within 50 feet of them, and they're at your side. And you've got 10 facts about an elephant, you know, before you know it. And you take a step away, and they slide along with you, and 10 more facts about the elephant. But, I mean, it was nice. It was a good day, except those six people, none of them work at food concessions on a Tuesday in February. Apparently it's not worth opening those up because they've got a big restaurant. They've got a mini Pizza Hut and McDonald's, nothing open. So we got there 10 in the morning, figuring we'd grab something there at lunch. And, 5 hours later, like I tweeted out when I was there that, after 5 hours, no food, the vegetables that the lemur's sitting on start to look pretty appetizing.
Go to the monkey cage.
After that, it was back home and made up for it by pretty much eating nonstop the rest of vacation while binging everything we could get our eyes on. Mr. Robot, Sneaky Pete, and something that was really funny, Santa Clarita Diet. Oh. It's a new show on Netflix, Drew Barrymore.
Yep.
A lot funnier than I expected. It was really good.
My wife just watched that, like she watched the entire first season or whatever that's on there.
Yeah, like eight episodes.
She's like, it's awkward. I don't know if I like it. And I'm like, but you watched the whole thing. She goes, yeah, and I wondered the entire time if I liked it.
You know, I did watch the first episode of it, and I will say the same thing that Mike said about it. Is that it's definitely funnier than I expected it to be. Because Stephanie really wanted to watch it. My girlfriend Stephanie wanted to watch it, and she begged and pleaded with me to watch at least the first episode. And I love Drew Barrymore. I love Timothy Oliphant. Wonderful. I love both of them. But I was like, this concept is kind of tired. It's like the zombie. It's like a zombie comedy kind of thing.
It feels played out. Yeah, zombies. But
I wasn't super excited about it. I was like, there's no way this can be good. But I did sit through the first episode, and there's some laugh out loud moments, unexpected humor in that.
Right, and I think it gets better after that. If you go back for a few more, I think you'll like it even more. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think I'll finish it out then.
I forget who all shows up in the first one, but as they add a few characters, you see more of the neighbors and their kid. They're all really good. It's really funny.
Yeah, right on.
That's awesome. I found out, and I'm not going to get into too much detail here for obvious reasons, but I found out that Arrival is not a movie to watch while all four women in your house are on their favorite time of the week or the month. that movie will send some. And the really great part is, when it comes to critical thinking and really like knowing, trying to figure out what a movie's about, because you know in the first like third of a movie, you're just trying to figure out what's going on. The middle third, you're kind of like enjoying the ride, and then the last third, you're wondering where it's going to go. Like that's kind of the ride that good movies will give you, right? And Arrival's a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. The first third of the movie, you're trying to figure out where it's going, and or what's going on. And I kind of figured it out. I kind of had an idea. And then about halfway through the movie, I realized I know the story. Like it just clicked in my brain. I felt like a little idiot savant or something, you know. And the movie ends, and if you haven't seen it, it's the way it ends, it kind of hints at its ending the entire time. And then at the end, if you didn't catch like one or two minor details, you can easily get inceptionalized and like your mind is blown. You can't quite grasp what's going on. Well, that's what happened to everybody else in the house. I was high on the old caffeine, so I was fully awake. Everybody else was kind of like trying to figure it out. And when I explained it to them, when I broke it down to like, you know, the one sentence explanation, waterworks all through the living room. And I was just like,
crap, dude.
I was like, I broke my family.
You're a dark wizard.
I sent out a tweet about it. My wife sent out a few Facebook messages about it. And if you didn't like it, then I'm sorry. I don't even know what to say to you. But if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's worth the hour and a half or hour and 40 minutes, whatever. I thought it was nice. I thought it was a good take on what the movie is. Because like you said, there's a lot of tropes out there that are really tired and really old and for hell's sake.
Yeah, and actually,
you know,
we're actually going to see it tomorrow night.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think you're one of the few that I think figured it out early. From what I've heard, a lot of people were like raving about being surprised at how it turned out.
Right. Yeah. Kent, have you seen it?
No, not yet. But I haven't heard of anybody not liking it.
Yeah, just check my wife's Facebook pages, and you'll see a whole bunch of people that are like, that movie is stupid. But
really,
yeah,
Wow,
yeah, it's all to be completely blunt though, it's all my musclehead friends and stuff like that. They're the guys with more testosterone than neurons. But anyway, I liked it. It was an emotional movie. It had a lot of good emotional elements to it. It was really there's a lot of cognitive thought process going on through it, so I was never bored. Not a whole lot of humor. There's a little bit, but not a whole lot, which, you know, not all movies need it, but I enjoyed it, so go watch it.
Yeah,
nice. Well, you remember a few weeks ago when I said that my son Isaac and I are building a computer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard you mention
that. Yeah, so we
Wait. This is a pain that longtime listeners of the show know that I know all too well from like eight or 9 months ago when I built the beast that I'm currently using right now. So go ahead, Ken. I'm interested to hear your side of the story.
Well, we finally got it all put together just the other day. And honestly, it went pretty smoothly. Got everything put together. No problems. You know, we're like, okay, here it is. This is the moment of truth. Push the button. Nothing happened. God damn it.
Wait. So you say nothing happened. Like you got the trigger of the button itself, right? But no beeps, no whirring, power supply cycling or anything. Oh, that's the worst, man. Because you don't know you don't know where to look at that point.
Yeah. Well, it turned out that I just had the wire that goes to the power button was on the wrong pin. Yeah. So that was easy to take care of.
That's literally that's literally the least exciting version of that story possible.
Anticlimax.
Open the case and find a mouse in it.
The thing that pissed me off though, was that after I got Windows installed and everything, I go to get on the internet and there's like, I can't find Wi-Fi. Like, why is it not connecting to Wi-Fi? What the fuck is going on? Motherboards, I learned, do not come with Wi-Fi built in.
The spoiled tropes of the Mac user where everything comes with Wi-Fi and everything's interconnected and the world is just joyful and gleeful and everything just happens to work the first time around. Aww.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something. Oh my god. So I went out and bought a Wi-Fi adapter, hooked it up. I wish I could say that there was no problems. But installing third-party software on Windows made me fucking realize why I hate Windows so much and love Mac so much. You kind of buried the lead there with the everything works the first time. That is... I warned Stephanie, because Stephanie gets bad when we go all Apple fanboy, but I warned her that this is an episode where that's going to happen, so she might not want to watch.
Is that why she's not in the chat room?
That very reason, you turn on your Apple for the first time, and amazingly, everything works. And if it's a new machine, you're a previous Apple user, but it's a new Mac or new MacBook or something like that, the first time you log in to your Apple ID, all you got to do is just sit back because everything is just done for you. And anyway, okay, I'm going to stop.
But it's building character.
Mike, are you a Windows guy or a Mac guy?
Windows. Because that's what I started with. You know, that's the first computer I had, and stayed with it. Everybody that uses a Mac, you know, raves, and every once in a while you get a little inkling, maybe give it a try, but it just seems a little too much to convert everything.
Right. Yeah. No, I completely get that, especially now with everything being online. You have an account for everything. You've got a certain, a portfolio of apps. Once you're in an ecosystem, it's really hard to switch.
Right. Yeah, we have iPads, so we're in that much of Apple's ecosystem. Oh. And I couldn't imagine changing that now with everything, as many apps as you accumulate and then going to, a Nexus or something, going to Android, that just seems daunting too.
Mm-hmm. Do you use an iPhone as well?
Yes. Okay. Recently, actually. We aren't a real big phone couple to begin with for the longest time. All we had was one in the glove compartment of the car. Just, we don't want to get bothered when we're out and trying to do something else, so we had something there for an emergency. But yeah, the last year and a half or so, I finally broke down, started carrying one.
Yeah, you're one of the masses now.
Got to check them tweets, man. You got to check them tweets.
That's exactly it.
So one of the things that I try not to do on my phone is play games, because of all the things that I could be doing on my phone, like, games are the least important of them. However, I have to state, since you brought up phones and stuff, and I don't know if it's available on Android or not, there's a game. I'm going to try to flash it in front of my camera here whenever it finishes loading up. There's a game that was the app of the week last week. It's called, get off there. Okay, there we go. Chameleon Run.
Ah.
Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Literally the snowboarding. I got to tell you, man, this game is, you're basically running, and you can change into one of two colors, either magenta or yellow. And then you can only, whatever color you are, you can only touch those bricks. There's gray, magenta, and yellow bricks. And it's a running game. It's just a runner. It's not even an endless runner. Like, it's a goal runner, right? Yeah. So amazingly fun. Holy crap. And I've hit a brick wall. Yeah. I've maxed out all of my little geckos or chameleons on the, stars on the first stage, and I can't pass the first level of the second stage.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. Like, by the time you get to the level 15 of the first stage, it's like, you're doing, like, because your right hand will jump, and of course the jump is, the longer you hold it, the more you jump, and you can do a double jump, and every time you touch a brick, a color brick, you get two more jumps. So there's, a lot of it relies on that. There's no way to force yourself down, and your left thumb will change your color. And of course, if you change colors, like, right as you hit a brick, then when you're running on that brick, it'll give you a little boost of speed. So there's this little dynamic that as you go through the first stage, you're really learning. It's pretty insane. And then towards the end, you end up with these little changes that will actually change your color as you're jumping, like, while you're going through them. It's like a little color gate. And, oh, my God, like, it was insane. I don't know why everybody isn't playing this game. Chameleon Run on iOS, so much fun. It was free last week. I don't know if it's still free or whatever. Even if it was, like $2.99, it's still worth it. It's less than half a cheeseburger. Like, do it, because it's going to take about 3 hours of your life. And I found from personal experience that you play better on the pooper. Just going to throw that out there, because there are certain stages I couldn't pass until about midloaf. So try that out.
It sounds like me with Angry Birds levels.
Mike, 30 games one day and little sleep. This sounds like pretty much my 20s.
Well, Well, if your 20s was board game focus, then yeah, that was another part of our vacation, which it's become actually since we were married, we fell into this little tournament we had. Started out holidays like Thanksgiving to Christmas, we'd play a game a night, just something to do, you know. But everything is a competition around here. Mm. So my wife and I, you know, we play and we'd play 30 games. The winner would, you know, get a dinner and a movie, you know, their choice of what to see, where to go. And then we kept falling behind, though. The games would start to pile up. We didn't have time to do it, and they would drag into the next year. So finally we said, all right, screw it. We're going to do this all in one day. So a few years ago, we started doing that, and we had 30 games. I don't know now if your tech issues you know, don't allow this now, but I sent a photo of our game tower just to give you an idea what, you know, what we were doing in a day. But it's all at the dining room table, you know, nothing electronic. It's all board, dice, cards. And we try to get going early in the morning, like 8 o'clock. And if we get going at 8, we're done about 2 in the morning. So we have 18 hours sitting at the table, but it's a blast. I mean, we just, it's a lot of fun. You eat, drink, taunt each other, play a bunch of games. Last year, my wife won, beat me on a tiebreaker. We tied 15 all, and I don't know if you're familiar with the game Bop It, little yep. handheld. Yeah,
yep.
She beat me on that. So she got to wear this last year. Championship shirt. And I got to wear this.
Oh no.
we had to wear it when we went out to our dinner and movie, and the next time we got together with our families. So this year I exacted a little revenge, which made vacation that much sweeter. But it's a lot of fun. You get away from, you know, as much as I'm, you know, doing my tech thing, this is a nice, you know, anti-tech break, you know, just sit around while it's miserable outside and just have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And
I have the picture. Let's go ahead and bring this up real quick. And like, wow, man, that is a lot of games.
I tell you what, Mike, it was a lot of fun to follow on Twitter as well.
Yeah, I saw you replied a few times.
You were basically live tweeting like every
five games. But yeah.
Now I'm looking in here. You got battle for the audio listeners. You got Battleship, Aggravation, Sorry. Looks like Frantic.
It's got Frame It.
Frame It. Okay. Yeah. Quandary, Picture, Poker, Keno. Anybody's guess, Tri-Bond, which that's actually a pretty fun game. Outburst, one of my favorite games of all times. Scategories, a game that I've only ever actually played with Kent and his first wife in Japan.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't turn out very well because it was me and him versus our ex-wives.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, don't do that. By the way, Just don't play husbands versus wives. It never works out. Anyway, so I see a lot of them on here that sequence is actually a pretty tough one. Boggle. Hell yeah, Boggle.
Boggle. Oh,
hell yeah. Looks like you had a 10 up there. Is that Trivial Pursuit up there?
I think there is Trivial Pursuit a little lower. I think that's a Bunko.
Oh, okay.
10. And then there's a tiny game at the top called Iota, which is new to us, but it's a lot of fun. It's a kind of strategy game. You end up filling the cards with these little square, filling the table with these little square cards. Kind of Scrabble-ish, but with numbers and shapes and colors.
So I just noticed the game that I thought was missing. It's kind of squished right there. Like, you know, maybe the board is holding it up, but Othello.
Othello is squished. It's a very old game.
you know, my grandma and I didn't have the best of relationships. Kind of hated her throughout my entire teen years, actually. but her and I would sit there and play Othello for hours. And I never beat that old hag. Not a single damn time. Like, I couldn't beat her. It was the one game. So a couple things here. I've never won a game of Uno ever in my life. And I've never beat my grandma at Othello. And I've only ever beat my mom at cribbage once. And, of course, I never played her again after that because, like, you know, you try to go out on top, right? So, yeah, there's the little backstory behind me. But anyway, there you go. I think it's pretty awesome. I really wish my family would be more into board games. I can't get them off the PS4, phone, /space.
That's us, too. I mean, if we didn't set that day aside, we used to do it a lot more. But then you get iPads and computers and getting off of Twitter or Mission Pick takes some effort.
What's the game with the trains? What game is that?
Oh, the one that...
Ticket to Ride.
Yeah.
We have Ticket to Ride for iPad, and sometimes I'll shoot that out there, and we'll play a round or two of that. And, man, the kids get so angry. No matter who wins, everybody else is pissed off because everybody thinks they have the line going, and they didn't see that one path. That's actually a fun game. It's on iPad. And if you got the little family playing thing, you can go against each other on that, and that's a lot of fun, too. So I recommend that one. It's a board game done digitally. Perfect translation. Perfect translation.
I know that's really popular, I think. Will Wheaton
That's where I initially saw it, was him playing on his game channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun game, and I think the digital version is actually cheaper than the board game, which makes it even better.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it perfect translation. Like, there couldn't be a better translation between a game and a digital version. So I recommend it. So my thing this week, other than trying to play Chameleon Run and get stuff working around here, I made about a dozen T-shirts.
Just for the hell of it.
Well, we have the Ritual Misery Live thing coming up in a couple weeks. Two weeks from today. That is scary. We got Night Attack coming out, which Bryce, by the way, hates our T-shirt. That's okay. and he hated last year's T-shirt. He didn't even bother looking at the backside of this year's T-shirt. But whatever. all this will be in the show notes. It got down to like the after show at Night Attack. We were sitting there playing Jack Attack or Jackbox or whatever. Mm. And every time there's a meme that came up in that, I made a T-shirt for it. So we'll have a link in the show notes. But there's a ton of T-shirts out there that you can probably only buy, and they'll all be one-offs. And they're all done at the bare minimum cost allowed, which is, I found Teespring is actually the cheapest place to make T-shirts. Mm. So.
There's all hashtag something on the back.
One of them's got hashtag. I think no, there's still not. There's not a still in beta T-shirt left out there because I'm wearing one of the 10 that was ever made. There's a what's the one release candidate? Hashtag release candidate is going to be the one for our live show. But you can't buy the
Merit deemed our show. Yeah. We're not in beta anymore. We're a release candidate now.
Yeah, Mr. Merit. There's going to be there's some fun ones up there, and I think I'm just going to continue that. I think I'm just going to make the Ritual Misery Store a whole slew of just whatever memes I find and throw them up there at at minimal cost. If there is a little bit of markup, there might be a dollar or two, but mostly just at cost. So there's all that.
Good deal.
Hey, is it about time for this? Hey, Kent.
Yeah,
I think it's maybe it's like the second time.
Yes. Well, my whole thing used to be that I would find a talk where Amos was not able to pronounce the speaker's name. I kind of changed my tactic and started just listening to talks that I really want to listen to.
Makes for a better segment, at least. But this is like the second time ever that both of us and our guest all watched a TED Talk. We all have a TED Talk.
Wow.
It's amazing. Usually when our guest has one, me or Kent will flake out and be like, we should just watch like a dozen of them and have them queued up. Like, that's what we should do, Kent. Like, if we were smart, that's what we do. So Don't Fear Super Intelligent AI by Grady Booch.
Fun,
you want to tell us about this, Mike?
Grady is a systems engineer at IBM, and he's trying to allay our fears of Skynet and such. He is working on a like the Mars mission with NASA, and he feels they need to design a HAL-like computer because, like, as I learned from watching The Martian, communicating from here to Mars, is very delayed, and so they feel like they need something on board as a type of mission command that can travel with them, but one, as he put it, that isn't homicidal.
Right, that's
So,
important.
right, and it's I want to believe his approach to this, that we don't have to worry about the rise of the machines. But there are a couple of things that kind of give me pause with his presentation. He lists various things that we have to be able to do to accomplish this, and to accomplish it in a safe manner. We have the computing power, and we can interact with the AI in a natural language. So he's checking these things off. Then he gets to we need to be able to install or instill a ethical and moral foundation. That we still need to learn how to do, which seems to weaken his confidence in the fact that we're going to be okay with this. But aside from that, the thing I had a bigger problem with is he looks almost exactly like Brent Spiner's character in Independence Day. And so everything he said after that was just dialogue from a science fiction movie. There's Grady. And
Hold
so
on.
he said like every line then became the line that a scientist in act one of a science fiction movie says before getting his head ripped off by a robot in act three. So it just became impossible to accept his premise. He, which, is me. It's me being shallow, but I couldn't get past it. He also admits that he disagrees with people like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking, who think differently about this. But still, it was a resemblance to Brent Spiner that I couldn't get past.
I'm
The
not going
thing
to
that
be able to unsee that.
I watched this talk as well, and the thing that got me, that kind of unsettled me, was what you said, Mike, about him disagreeing with Stephen Hawking, arguably the smartest person on the
Yeah,
planet.
exactly.
I'm not real comfortable with disagreeing with him.
Yeah, I know. And it was such a casual disagreement. Just,
This is one of those things, like, so I'm not smart enough to disagree. With I'm not smart enough to agree with Stephen Hawking, like it's just so out there, so much, and to just blatantly to
Yeah, they've got their thoughts. I have mine. I'm probably right.
Which would have been totally better if he'd been like, they have their thoughts and I have mine, and I'm probably wrong, but it would have been fine. But no. Hey, but how about Hans Rosling? Or is it just Han? Because sometimes the S is
It's
silent.
Hans. It's
H
Hans. He's
Hans.
Swedish.
Okay. So Hans Rosling, the magic washing machine.
Yeah. So this guy, if you've never watched a Hans Rosling TED Talk, you need to watch all of them. They're just fantastic. I think I've done a review on one of his other ones like months and months ago. The guy is just fantastic. He presents statistics in a way that, I mean, statistics are boring, right? Well, unless you're Mike. Mike loves statistics. But for most people, statistics are very boring, but not when Hans gives you the statistics. He's very entertaining to watch. He's very animated. He has a software program that he developed that he creates presentations, like visual presentations, out of the statistics and whatnot. On a sad note, let me just say this real quick before I go into the talk. On a sad note, after watching this talk, I wanted to find out like a little tidbit or something about Hans. So I went to Wikipedia and pulled up his page, and I found out that he passed away just over 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
was like,
real
son of a
wow.
At our last TED talk from Hans, unfortunately. But in this talk, this talk is from a few years ago. He talks about what he believes is one of the greatest inventions of all time, the washing machine, the automatic washing machine. Because he talks about how, and this is a recurring theme in his talks, he talks about the like the state of the world as far as like poverty levels and literacy levels, things like that. Like basically the how good we're doing as a people, worldwide. And a lot of people are like, oh God, the world today is such, you know, horrible, blah, 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 blah. But the numbers say otherwise. We are the greatest state of being that we've ever been in the history of humanity right now. And he will present numbers to show that. Well, anyway, so in that theme, he shows that the one thing that holds a lot of people back, and especially women worldwide, is washing clothes. Because without an automatic washing machine, it is a many hours long process to hand wash clothing. And women, unfortunately, are almost always the ones tasked with that chore, while the men are, you know, whatever they're doing, hunting
range for large animals to exterminate because exactly. We can.
Exactly.
Playing fantasy football.
But they, yes, yes.
On their homes while they're running around with spears. That's like this is the pose.
He was a child. He said that when he was a child, he remembers when his mother got the very first automatic washing machine, and his grandmother came over and she was so excited, and she wanted to be the one to push the button, because you know, she said this is the greatest thing that she's ever seen. It is a truly life-changing invention. And he really, like, nobody thinks about that washing machine. We take those for granted. But it's he considers it a life-changing thing, that if everyone on the planet had an automatic washing machine, the world would be a better place, just overall. It's a really fascinating talk. In fact, I recommend anything by Hans Rosling. Check him out.
I genuinely think that he's not far off. Like, it's really pretty amazing when you think about it. Because first, I mean, think of all the stuff you have to have before you even get the washing machine. And then the amount of time not sucked away by, I mean, just the fact that she had to, even if it's a woman or a man, doesn't matter. They don't have to look at the skid marks in their partner's underwear. I mean, that alone is such a quality of life improvement. Like,
and he said that the washing machine allowed for smarter people, because what happens is, at least in his family and like the people that he knew when he was a child, when people started getting washing machines, that freed up time to read. So they were going to the library and getting books and learning things from books and consuming novels and making themselves smarter. And I mean, this guy was, you know, a world-renowned scholar and professor. And without the washing machine, he probably never would have done any of that.
Hmm. Yeah, he said, was it that his mother like had time to read to him and to to like get him started on that kind of, that time she wouldn't have had before.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, I think every once in a while, you kind of have to hear something like this to remind you to appreciate the commonplace things that, you know, we take for granted, like that. Like you're saying, you know, how much time it would actually take to do that. Because his grandmother sat and watched the whole cycle of the wash because of how incredible it was. And you think, oh my God, how ridiculous. But I remember when we got our first computer that had a DVD player on it. And I'd see DVDs, I've seen crazy action movies on a DVD player before, but then they gave you a little sample, you know, display thing just to show you the colors. And you sat there and watched that because you could do it on your computer. You sat there for half an hour watching the colors swirl around. It,
right.
It's, you know, it's new and it's, it just amazes you.
Mm. Yeah.
And now, they have the ones like, when you can sit there and just watch the window and it's just tumbling and tumbling and tumbling, you're like, that doesn't look hard. Have you tried to hand wash anything lately? Like, you sit there and you can scrub for quite a while. Like, and what ends up, it still smells like yesterday's pit sweat. I mean, I don't, like, don't, if anything says hand wash only, I don't even buy it. If somebody buys it for me, I'm tossing it. Or I'm throwing it in the washer and just figuring, right. Hey. I mean, if I end up with confetti, you know, then I end up with confetti. But
yeah,
it's
take a shot. Yeah,
yeah, I'm down. I think the clothes washer needs more respect. I'm down with that.
Amos, so George Dyson, the story of Project Orion. What was that about?
I got into this. I started watching this because it's kind of old, and I like to reach back into the old stuff. You know, the stuff that's been. Because we typically, just by natural selection process, we end up watching the newer stuff first. Like so I reached kind of way back there.
First
and
that come up on the page.
Well, this was actually on the page, on the homepage at TED.com. And it was the oldest one I saw on the page. And I was like, well, let's click into this. This guy, the story of Project Orion. Project Orion was a nuclear-powered spacecraft that would take scientists and some other of their families to Mars and back. And not like nuclear-powered engines. Like, they were spitting rocks out the back of their ship and blowing them up, as in, like, dropping a nuclear bomb behind the spacecraft, letting it explode, and that would propel the spacecraft forward.
Okay.
And what he did is his dad worked on this, and he started collecting all this old memorabilia, these old plans, all this other stuff. Come to find out that he ended up selling like some thousands of pages back to NASA. That a lot of the stuff that he has, all these old notes and stuff like this from this old program, are still classified, but he has them in his legal possession. This whole project is just one big mess. And as you're watching it, like, he really takes it serious to begin with. Then at the end, he's kind of joking on how just ridiculous the whole thing is. I'm going to give it a thumbs down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's semi-interesting. If you're really into space travel or spacecraft or, you know, the history of NASA versus the Air Force, it's got some interesting points. But overall, 11 minutes better spent elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so I think we got two thumbs up and one thumbs down.
Sorry.
Oh, geez. Okay. Mike, we play a game called Hot Takes.
I've heard that.
It starts out like this.
You've got 60 seconds. Get your mind right. It's time for Hot Takes on the Ritual Misery Podcast.
So basically, the way this is going to work is I'm going to tell you a topic, typically followed by "Am I right?" And then you have roughly 10 seconds, or however long I
the arbitrary period of time in which he's willing to listen to whatever you have to say.
And you can say whatever you want. You can rant and rave, whatever it is you want to do, whatever you want to say about that particular topic until you hear that sound, and then you stop talking, and I give you the next topic. Are you ready?
I suppose so.
Right. Wolverines, am I right?
Wolverine. Well, for everything I hear about Logan, it's probably going to be the best of the Wolverine movies. It's superfluous to the movie draft, it turns out, as Brian has already crushed everybody, so now he's just going to crush everybody harder with that.
Mr. Roper or Mr. Furley?
Oh, Mr. Roper, I believe. It's tough to top the original. Don Knotts is is great in a lot of roles, but I think Roper is the Three's Company king.
Tom Merritt, am I right?
Oh, Tom, yes. Guy who brought me in, got me actually writing this weekly tech views. The guy, if you want, you want to know real stories about, you know, what tech is, what's going on in the tech news and how it affects you and the world, he's a guy you want to listen to.
Blogs, am I right?
Blogs, blogs are, they're fun. They're interesting. It's, I mean, it's a great opportunity for anybody, you know, to put out there what you want to say. You think somebody else in the world might want to hear it. It's, you know, we live in a great time to give, you know, give us all that opportunity as easily as we can.
Ritual Misery Podcast, am I right?
Ritual Misery Podcast. You guys, I think, are like the embodiment of Diamond Club. It's, I think you're a great example of what the community is. You know, you, like I was saying with blogs, you want to put something out there. You do it, you put some work into it, and this is a community that appreciates it. You know, they aren't going to consume anything anybody puts out, but you got to have some skills. But you guys do an entertaining podcast. People dig it.
I like how Kent let you go for like a minute and a half on us. Like that wasn't self promotion at all. Like is that our new way of getting quotes about the show from people? Is that what's going on there?
Right, it is.
Should I start cutting that segment out and giving it to you for commercials and shit?
Oh man, thank you for the kind words, Mike. That's
Sure. You know, actually, I was thinking about doing it with the Oscars coming up this week, about doing like an Oscar themed crumb dumb for the movie draft. And I was visualizing what this would actually look like in real life on a stage. And you guys are who I pictured as being like the MCs of the whole thing.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Just, I'm down.
Just because, you know, that I really think you guys are like the personification of Diamond Club. I really do.
I'm just going to address the elephant in my room because it's kind of small. I need to get it out of here. That's not the first time we've heard something like that, and I can honestly say that nothing has made us prouder to be part of Diamond Club, to be accepted into Diamond Club, especially on DiamondClub.tv, where we stream every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, and to have someone like you and Jury and people like that just have that to say, like, hey, these guys, Diamond Club, this is all about Diamond Club, and nothing makes me happier with it, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no doubt. Because, I mean, before anything else, we are fans of Diamond Club. And if we can give back in any way at all, yep. I mean, I think what we've kind of become is like the platform for other Diamond Clubbers, chat roamers, whatever, to come on and geek out with us.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm super proud to be able to do that. And that's...
Hey, real quick, I've got one more thing for you. And talk about geeking out. Have you guys seen... this, the Kyber light?
I looked quick when I saw you had put it up.
I can't get enough of this. This looks amazing.
These
Hello.
Are the
welcome to Kyber light,
like Home high quality, custom buildable lightsabers. That I have seen these and. Yeah, man. If they were just a little bit cheaper, I would have so many of these.
Yep. Yeah.
I like how they're basically indestructible. Like they look movie quality and pretty much indestructible. So like you could just wail on your buddy and don't have to worry about it breaking.
That's actually one of my concerns is how soon do we hear about a bludgeoning case from someone just smacking the shit out of their buddy?
Yeah, I think someone's skull would break before this thing.
And then you get a reduced sentence because it's stylish.
Right. You can't hold Jedi in a normal prison. Oh man, so yeah, I had to bring that out. That was I saw that like before last week even, and it blew me away. I had to share it. It just looks amazing. Hey Kent, what's this on here about Trappist-1? Now, are we talking about beer again?
Well, see, that's something about this. All right, so NASA discovered, well, they actually discovered these a little while ago, but they just announced a few days ago that they discovered a solar system that's about 40 light years away from our own that has seven, not just one, two, three, four, or five, or six, but seven Earth-like planets orbiting around this one sun that, I mean, absolutely unprecedented. We have never found anything like this in our galaxy or anywhere. Our own solar system doesn't have seven habitable planets. It's absolutely amazing. Mike, did you catch the news on this the other day?
I on Twitter I saw people mentioning it, and then I took a quick look, and it's I guess relatively close, relatively 200 and some trillion miles, but it's they said it was record setting in finding seven of them, or which kind of struck me as kind of a funny way to put it, as if they're we've got a planet finding league, and these guys set the record for most found this year. But they said like three of them were very likely, I don't know how likely, but to have water and sustain life, or possibility of sustaining life. So that's really interesting. It seems odd that if it is relatively close, that that it was just now found, that many of them. That's kind of incredible.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things that me, being a beer geek, one of the things that struck me about this is that the star is called TRAPPIST-1, and which it kind of makes sense because it was a Belgian laboratory that discovered this, and most of the TRAPPIST breweries are actually in Belgium. So I'm wondering if these scientists are beer geeks as well. But TRAPPIST are, for those that don't know, TRAPPISTs are, the TRAPPISTs are an order of monks, Catholic monks, that live primarily in Europe. There are TRAPPIST monasteries all over the world. And a select few of these monasteries make beer. And it is, without a doubt, some of the greatest beer on the planet. So I'm a huge fan of TRAPPISTs. Very charitable. They don't make a profit. All of their, quote, profits go to charitable causes. So there's a lot of reasons to like TRAPPIST. And now we have a solar system named after them. And I think that's super awesome.
I wonder how hard they work to fit that name in, because it looked like they mentioned it was kind of an acronym for the telescope also. So I wonder if they name that telescope with the we're going to make this TRAPPIST somehow, damn it.
What is it called? A backronym?
It's a backronym. It's Transiting Planets and Planetesimals Small Telescope. So it's even a reach. It's not just a backronym. It's like a reach. It's a reachonym. That's what that shit is, all right? It's a reachonym. So here's my thing about all of this, all right? I love the artist's renditions. Yes. I can't get enough of these damn, like, especially ones like this one right here. I'm going to show this. It's escape of, like, movies with, like, or not movies, caves, like jagged rocks and like this water that looks pretty murky, even though it's in the sunset with like four moons or something.
Those are like the other planets.
Like, who wants to live there? Nobody wants to live there. Nobody would want to live there, but that's like the representation that they decide to show in this video. And
I think that's a cut scene from Far Cry TRAPPIST.
Yes, it probably is. I tell you what, I might not want to live there, but I definitely want to visit there.
Yeah. I don't know. One of the things that they mentioned in my TED talk today was how the moon doesn't have an atmosphere, so you could get within like 10 meters of it and just do an elliptical orbit on that, and just kind of, that could be a thrill ride. Are we going to crash this time? I don't know about visiting other places when you got people with that kind of mindset with too much money. This is really cool, and I will mention this kind of a callback on the Hello Internet podcast. Brady actually talked about how when we find life on other planets, it's not going to be like this big bang. Hey, we found life. It's going to be this slow trickling of news. Oh, hey, we found a planet. oh, hey, we found other planets. Oh, hey, we found this moon that has some water on it. Oh, hey, we found this moon that has some water on it, maybe has some skeletal forms on it. Like, it's going to be this slow trickling instead of this big bang, we found it. and, of course, this just feeds right into that conspiracy theory. That by the time we find life on other planets, it's going to be like, eh, yeah, kind of. We kind of knew it was coming. So.
Had to happen.
So, yep. Mike, what do you got coming up? What can we look forward to seeing from Movie League, Mike?
Coming up? Well, this weekend will be a new monthly Tech Views. Sunday it'll show up, which will hopefully be fun. Currently there is Tech Please to fill in those non-monthly Tech Views weeks. Where am I going? There we go. Here's an actual paper version. Cool art from Len Peralta on the cover. And an ebook. Just you can check it out at Amazon. It's got over 500 stories from 2016. Everything I put up in the blog from last year. Then this week's, the monthly Tech Views is at dailytechnewsshow.com on Sunday. And I realized an interesting coincidence with that, with the book having over 500 stories in it. Kent's got over 500 reviews of beer at ratebeer.com.
Ratebeer.com, yep.
So my thinking is you drink a beer for every story you read, and I get a lot funnier.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like an awesome drinking game. Crap. Oh my god, because especially at how fast that I read your entries, like I would
Yeah, they're very short. Yeah, each story is really short. So yeah, you don't want to read it all in a day if you're drinking with it.
Oh man, that's fantastic. I might have to try that. I might only read a few stories. Stories in, then
so straight from the monthly Tech Views, we got after becoming aware of a YouTube video of a mod for Grand Theft Auto 5 allowing players to use Note 7S as grenades, Samsung issued a takedown notice. Sure, you don't mean burn notice, said pretty much everybody. Little quips like that.
The Note 7 was like a gift to anybody writing about tech last year. That is probably 20% of the book from last year, because it just kept coming.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely enjoyable. If you are a person that likes tech in any way whatsoever, just in the fact that you have a smartphone in your pocket and you like to laugh, you definitely should check out Mike's book. And there will be links to all of that stuff in our show notes. Check that book out. It's called Tech Please. Check out the Crumb Dumb. What's the name of your Crumb Dumb collection book?
Oh yeah, it's actually just the Crumb Dumb collection. It's I really threw that up there just as Amazon, you know, makes you charge something for it, but you can make it free for a little bit. So when the season's ended, I would put it up, make it, you know, free for 5 days, and people that were in the league or followed along could, you know, download it. So now they're all still up there. I combined all of them into one, the Crumb Dumb collection. So it's got like 4 seasons worth. If for some reason you want to relive the movie draft from the past few summers, and it's there if you want it.
I think it's great because there's a lot of people that really geek out about movies, and to relive the weeks leading up to, you know, a movie, because you don't just comment on the movies that have been released. You kind of lean towards things that are coming. And it's really a narrative of that week, and you know what's happened, what's going on, and what's about to happen. And I enjoyed them; I really do. So,
oh, thanks. Yeah, idea was to be less. I was less concerned with facts. I mean, you know, I got the numbers right for the standings and stuff for the draft, but it was more an excuse to have fun with it. You know, the thing I appreciate most is that nobody in the league ever gave me a lot of grief for making things up that they said, or just, you know, completely misrepresenting their attitude about something just for the sake of trying to get a laugh. Everybody was really cool about it. So, you know, the number one plan was to try to get a few laughs out of it. And then secondarily was, here's what's going on in the league.
It's definitely an interesting take on the movie landscape, even if you're not into the movie draft. So, where else can people find stuff about you before we start getting into the ramp down of the show? That's my official name now. Is the ramp down?
That sounds pretty cool.
That's whatever.
You got to say that in a low voice. It's time to ramp down.
It's time for the ramp down.
At Movie League Mike on Twitter. If you want to find out when the latest, the occasional crumb dumb goes up or the newest tech views comes out or me just trying to make a joke about something somebody else tweeted. That's where you can find me mostly. I'm on Facebook, but not very active. Other than that, go buy tech, please.
There we go.
Yep, definitely. Well worth it.
Hey Kent, we got one more thing left, and I know it's my turn to read this week, but I'm gonna leave it to read. I've got a nice little introduction for it.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah. I was about to introduce it. Go ahead.
Here's the thing. We all know Movie League Mike as Movie League Mike. Like that's what we know him as. That's what he does, the Movie League stuff. He does the not just the crumb dumb, but the monthly tech views now he's always trying to make us laugh, but there was a time that Mike was more serious. There was a time when he didn't have his sights on the movies. He actually had his sights on TV, and it's a shame, but things like TV Guide, they'd kind of went away. I mean, nobody really reads that stuff anymore, and it's because they didn't embrace the Mike of the world.
Right.
And what we have is we actually have a snippet of some of the writings that he did early in the TV Guide. Like he was actually a TV Guide reviewer and published these three reviews for TV shows that were going to be on TV. And he put his little twist in them. And then, of course, we put our little twist in that. So, Kent, if you wouldn't mind... if you'll take the first one, I'll take the second one, and we'll go to the third one, if that'll work for you.
All right. So this is a while back now. So Thursdays at 8 p.m., there used to be a show called My Adventures as a Foreign Lightsaber. I don't know if you remember that one. But Mike says about it, this is an exciting and funnier than expected made-for-TV movie that takes place during the time of World War XXX. We give it a rating of 3 weeks.
That's not a bad rating. Now, that next day, Friday at 7:30 p.m., Happy Windows was on, and it's when an old school homicidal AI welcomes him with open brains and throws him a mid-loaf party. This puts Jackie Hearn, his former ecosystem friend, into a bad state of noggin.
That series should have lasted longer.
True. Yeah, I mean, 14 seasons wasn't enough. They needed at least 16 to really tie it up well.
But then the following night, Saturdays at 10 p.m.
And this is a good one. I actually saw this. This is available on Netflix right now. Like you can go on Netflix and watch this right now.
Yeah, check it out. It's called Where Have All the Planets Gone? Mike says, this safe thriller by the indestructible director Will Wheaton is about a Manhattan blog searching for a missing person in a small spaceship.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to watch that?
Who would not watch that?
I'm just saying.
Like, blog PI, yeah.
These are great great reviews here you had, Mike. I don't understand why this didn't catch on. This really should have.
It's the advancing technology. Otherwise, it would have gone. But who wants a TV Guide anymore?
Yeah. You got to kind of play that game. So if you'd like to chill out with us in person and witness that disaster, we are going to be at Darwin's Pub in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, actually. 2 weeks from tonight.
That's in Austin on 6th Street.
Yep.
Wonderful Darwin's Pub. They have excellent food.
Oh yeah.
Good drinks. Amazing staff. Absolutely fantastic staff. They've got a stage that usually has bands. On this particular night, 2 weeks from now,
they're going to have a band.
Well, they are. But before the band, probably the warm-up to the band is going to be a first-ever event a live Ritual Misery.
Nothing will make you appreciate a local band like a bad comedy show. So come on out. We're going to be there from about 4 to 7. We should be doing our live thing from 5 to about 6-ish. And we'll have some drinks. We'll have some food. And we'll even have some swag out there, hopefully, if I order that shit tonight, because we need to get on that. And, of course, that's going to just be the kickoff to the Diamond Club event known as South By So Wasted, Saturday Night Attack Live. Yeah, drinks, parties, meet all the Diamond Club friends, have fun, and come see our show.
Yep, it's going to be a blast. Can't wait. Before that, though, next week we have none other than David Majors on the show. You might know him as DJM.
Or just call me DJM.
Right.
I mean. Yep.
So that's looking forward to that. What else you got for us, Mike? You got any final thoughts?
Just thanks again for having me on. You guys are great. Made this first podcast experience really comfortable and fun.
Awesome. Yeah, we were super excited to get you booked on here, and you've been absolutely wonderful. So thank you so much for coming on.
Podcasting Cherry.
My pleasure.
Podcasting Cherry. Pop.
Pop.
Hey, you can check out everything on this show at ritualmisery.com. You can go over and buy some stuff at ritualmisery.com/swag. I don't even know if I don't think we marked that stuff up, so it should be pretty cheap. I'm not sure. Anyway, you can find Kent at rm_ wow, that's a hard word to say.
Yep, rm_delnoche on Twitter.
That's why it's his name.
Yes, that is the best place to find me. If you're a beer guy, follow me on Untappd. Also, that's username is Del Noche on there.
All right, you can find me at Ethan Kane. I'm going to push this little button right here, which is going to cause some music by Kevin McLeod over at incomptech.com to come up. And you can find everything you want to know about the show at ritualmisery.com. Email us ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. And, man, it's been an awesome show. For Kent, for Mike, and for me, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And that's a show.
Awesome.
Alright, oh.
Takes
very
me a while
cool.
to get, takes me a while to get used to that new stinger. A new Diamond Club stinger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, because nobody else is using it. I don't understand why, but nobody else is using it. They're still using the original just Brian and Justin thing. That's not as much fun to me.
Who provides a new one?
I think Sergeant Muffin put it together, actually.